The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. In the course of his teaching, Jesus said to the crowds, "Beware of the scribes who like to go around in long robes and accept greetings in the marketplaces, seats of honor in synagogues, and places of honor at banquets. They devour the houses of widows, and as a pretext, recite lengthy prayers. They will receive a very severe condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and observed how the crowd put money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow also came and put in two small coins worth a few cents. Calling his disciples to himself, he said to them, "Amen, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they have all contributed from their surplus wealth, but she from her poverty has contributed all she had, her whole livelihood." The Gospel of the Lord. Since this is the time of year that most parishes are doing their collection enhancement programs, I'm kind of worried that this gospel is just going to be delivered over to fundraisers this weekend. And it is used oftentimes when we talk about how we are willing to be generous. But today I want to tell you that this gospel is about a whole lot more than just money. I mean, don't misunderstand me. Jesus talks about the wealthy people putting in a lot of money, and he doesn't criticize, notice. It's not a bad thing. Jesus makes note of it. But I think what we're talking about today is how we give, how we're willing to give. What is your giving like? When you give, do you give your best? When you give, do you give your favorite? When you give, do you give your last, all that you have left? It was at the time of Jesus that the people were accustomed to taking their harvest and offering to God, first of all, the best of what they gathered. At the time of Jesus, it was also the custom when parents had their firstborn son, they would take him to the temple and they would present him to God as an offering. Not human sacrifice, of course. You remember how Mary and Joseph took Jesus and made as their offering turtle doves. But there was this understanding that we give to God what we get first and what we have as our best. It doesn't really matter what you give, as long as you give. So, for example, if you want to give God some time today in prayer, do you pick the best time of your day, or do you kind of just wait and see what's left over? I know I do this all the time. I'll get to it if I have time. And how many times do we not have time? I think today about missionaries who've given their lives over to a service, to serve God and to serve the gospel, and how they seem to be willing to give up everything, to leave what is comfortable and familiar, to go away to an unknown place. And the only motive they could have is love of God and love of those people, whoever they're going to meet, they don't even know. Last Monday night, we went to a dinner honoring Bishop Laverty. Yesterday, I was present at the Mass at All Saints Church in Manassas. There was a lot of discussion about our bishop. You know, he's retiring. He sent in his letter on the 3rd of September. And we've had this opportunity now to reflect about just exactly how faithful he has stayed all these years. being in the end of his ministry as a bishop, retiring now after 50 years a priest next month. I find it a beautiful expression of this idea of giving, about how willing he is to still give this last time in his ministry to us. He keeps a schedule that would wear out a young person. He's amazing. Or I think about a mom or a dad with all the things that families are facing in the world today, all the difficulties, the challenges, what seem to be impossible challenges sometimes. How a mom or a dad are willing to, or a grandparent, I guess, are willing to give that last ounce of patience, that last possible generosity, especially where families are faced with things like addiction. So you see, in every moment, we can give our last two pennies. Most of the time, this is in secret. But I want to tell you today that Jesus notices all of these things. He is sitting by, watching. He is saying to us, his disciples, now watch what this person is doing. This is important. And he is pleased. But the most important message that we have this morning is to understand that this kind of giving is not optional. This kind of giving is not optional. The widow knew that if she gave what was left of her flour and her oil to the prophet Elijah, that they would die, she and her son. She's not being dramatic. In that particular time, widows and orphans had absolutely no support system under the law. In the people of Jesus' time, the most unfortunate were the widows and the orphans. And it was very real that if she ran out of food, that she and her son would be begging, sitting in the dirt at the side of the road, waiting for somebody to come along and be generous to her. Well, there are people in our world who actually choose this. I think about men and women in the consecrated life, sisters and priests and brothers, not diocesan priests. You know, we don't make a vow of poverty like our brothers and sisters in the consecrated life. They have truly given up all these things, the first and the last, and the favorite and the best. Well, there's a distinction I'd like to make about this gift of giving. If you've been through the Called and Gifted workshop, you'll recognize right away that the gift of giving, you'll know you have the gift if you ask the question not, how much should I give? But if you ask the question, how much do I have to keep? There's a huge difference there, isn't there? How much do I really need? And then the gift of faith. By our baptism, we receive that gift of faith, which is meant for us personally. But in the Christian life, as God calls us through the sacraments, especially the gifts of the Holy Spirit and confirmation, he gives us a gift of faith that we consider more as a gift of trust, really. It's a radical ability to live without all of the nets that we build around ourselves as we walk the line of life. I mean, if you think about it, if you have so many safety nets in your life, you don't even need faith, right? Because if you fall, it won't matter. But faith requires us to go out and to do what's necessary to give of ourselves in such a way so that there is kind of an unknown about that. It's necessary. Otherwise, our faith it's just kind of a safe knowledge. Well, the call that God gives to us, whether we're clergy or whether we're lay people, is the same. A vocation to priesthood or a vocation to marriage, it's the same. We have lived too many generations now, probably three or four or even five generations, where people have in their minds that a vocation to the priesthood is too hard. And for some reason, marriage is considered easier. I think that the witness of our experience in the world says the opposite. We haven't counted on what we need to have for marriages to be successful. There is no such thing as looking for the easy way. God calls us in every vocation to the same giving of ourselves, of our first and our last and our favorite and all we have. We give ourselves. When I was ordained a priest, I was laying on the floor of the cathedral, prostrate. The whole idea was I was laying down my life for you. And if you're married, when you were at your wedding and you stood facing one another in front of your family and your friends, it was the same. Those vows, you were laying down your life for one another. There's no kind of partial gift when we talk about these things. It's the same way that Jesus gave his last two pennies on the cross. When we respond to a vocation, the call that God gives us, we become icons of Jesus, who is on the cross. And that's what makes our lives meaningful, the way that we respond in our gift. I was in Houston, Texas this week, and I was giving a conference to the leaders of the Ecumenical and Interreligious Commission for that archdiocese, Galveston, Houston. And I said to them, God is calling all of us to do something, to do something. It's a concrete plan that God has for his world. It's not an abstract idea that we sort of just have to agree with. It's a plan, and your name and my name is written on the list in some place in that plan, something that we have got to do to respond with all our being. In your life with God, do you treat him as if he responds only half-heartedly to you? Because that's not possible for God to only respond partially. Does God just give us what's left over? Or was it, in fact, his first and his only begotten, his first and his last? We use the words Alpha and Omega. Didn't God give us his favorite as our Savior? Well, I'm not here to criticize because I'm not here yet either. I think we're all on the same path. We want to be saints. We want to echo that example of Jesus. But God has given each one of us a vocation, and we have to respond. Elijah said to the widow, "Do it anyway, and God will take care of you." Well, this weekend is the end of the National Week for Vocations Awareness. We didn't get much of a chance to talk about it last week because it was All Saints Day, and All Saints Day is too important to feast. But I challenge you today to be aware of the call that God has given you. I challenge you to help one another to hear that call, because God is calling in every moment for us to give those two pennies, and we have to train our ears together to hear his voice. God doesn't call in vain. He hasn't created anyone who is unable to hear his voice. And in the same way, he hasn't created anyone without the capacity to give our first and our last and our favorite and all we have. That generosity is up to us.